witness. Let me see your hand. Come on. I need to be a better witness. You need to be a better witness. We all need to be a better witness. And you know what, beloved? This is what I've discovered. See if you're like me. If I don't get my heart right with God, and I don't get my mind right with God, I'm not a very good witness. And that's why it's important for you to get your heart right with God today. And that's why it's important for you to get your mind right with God today. But I want to be a better witness. And the truth of the matter is that many of us are missing out opportunities to share our faith. Probably today you've got some family member that's not a Christian. You've probably got a neighbor, don't you? You've got some co-worker that you know is not saved. Are you witnessing to them? Are you talking with them about the Lord Jesus, the love of God? Hey, don't miss out on opportunities. Yeah, they're right around us. How many believe that people still die and go to hell without God? Hey, I want to tell you something. Let me ask you this. How many of you got at least three people on your heart that you know are lost and you're praying for them today? At least three people. At least three people. If you don't have at least one person on your heart, you need to pray and say, "Dear God, give me one person on my heart that I can pray and ask you to save them." How to be a better witness. I want to preach today on the subject of witnessing in a wicked a little bit, Brother Garrett. Witnessing in a wicked world. We live in a wicked world and a warped world. Speaking of getting better at witnessing, and I'll be honest with you, all of us could use some help. Hey, look up here. When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? Yesterday? 6 months ago? A year ago? When's the last time you talked with somebody about the love of God? You see, if you don't plan it, it's not going to happen, more than likely. How to be a better witness. All of us could be a better witness. Speaking of being better, I heard about a man that went to a nursing home, and he was playing the keyboard, and one of the dear ladies in the nursing home was sick, and he played the keyboard, he sang the songs, and then about the time he was getting ready to leave the room, he looked at the lady and he said, "I hope you get better." She looked at him and said, "Yep, and I hope you get better too," all right? I hope you and I get better at this thing of witnessing. We talk about it all the time, but are we doing it? The question is, are we doing it? I want to share with you today three challenges. If you'll take them, I believe you and I will be better witnesses. Three challenges. We're going to find them in the book of Revelation chapter 11. Turn, please. The book of Revelation chapter 11. In the book of Revelation chapter 11, you're very familiar with this particular book. John, who has been the only one who have escaped martyrdom of the disciples, yet he was thrown into a pot of boiling oil, and yet he escaped to the Isle of Patmos. He penned the letter here in 95 AD. In the book of Revelation, he has got incredible insight of Jesus in the past, the church in the present, and the future here to come, from chapter 4 to chapter 22. I'm reading from the book of Revelation chapter 11. I believe there's some practical things here that all of us can apply to our heart as we say, "Lord, we want to be a witness in this wicked and warped world. We live in a sin-sick world, and if we're not careful, by the world than influencing the world." Revelation chapter 11, if you would, stand to your feet. I want to break right into verse 3. But let me first of all say there's a little background as we get into the book of Revelation chapter 11. What is it? All right, God is already unleashing his seals, seven trumpets, and then further seven vials upon the earth. I believe personally the church will be raptured before the tribulation. Why? I'll tell you in a moment. Well, a number of reasons, because the church is not meant to go through the tribulation. If you read the word of God from chapter 6 to chapter 22, you don't find the word ecclesia, church, at all. Why? The church is not meant to go through the tribulation. Oh, yes, we're going to find persecution today. But Israel, the focus is on Israel. And Israel is mentioned 30 times in this particular passage. 85% of the time it's mentioned in these middle chapters. Just check it out. Do your homework. Anyway, the church is raptured. Meanwhile, the judgment seat of Christ, it will matter how you serve God in the end time. That is, we'll all be held accountable, whether we are rewarded or suffer loss, when we die and or if the Lord comes back again. Meanwhile, in heaven, we'll be married to the Lamb. Meanwhile, on earth, God is pouring out his wrath again in the seven seals, chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, chapter 8 of the book of Revelation, all through there. And then chapter 8 to chapter 11 comes the seven trumpet judgments. However, in the middle of that is an interesting passage we're going to read today about two witnesses. In a wicked world. And I believe that God has spoken to my heart about this and will speak to your heart as well. Let's zero in on verse 3. There's three challenges that you and I need to take today if we want to be a better witness. Chapter 11, verse 3, if you're there, say amen. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Wait a minute, let me pause there. 260 days, you know how long that is? 3.5 years. You take 42 months, 3.5 years, or 1,260 days. I know what you're thinking. I got to say this fast because I know you're standing. Listen, this is not based on the solar calendar, Christian calendar, 365 days. But the Jews have the lunar calendar, 360 days. So if you add this up, it's not going to calculate unless you calculate it from the lunar perspective. That's why, again, I say the tribulation's meant for Israel, not the church. Why? Because of the evangelization of the Jews, 144,000. Because the overthrow of Satan. Why? Because of the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Why? Because Jesus is preparing a earth once he comes and sets up his millennial kingdom in Revelation 20. Again, go back to verse 3. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, in order to understand these two olive trees, you need to go back to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. You'll find out Zechariah saw this futuristic event. Keep reading now, verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, that is these two witnesses, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power, notice verse 6, to shut heaven, and it rained not in the days of their prophecy. That's 3.5 years. And have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Well, who are these two witnesses? Some say Elijah and Enoch. Why? Because Elijah didn't die, nor did Enoch. Both were the only two who were taken up into glory. Enoch walked with God and was not, in the book of Genesis chapter 5. And Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind chariot of fire. Others say this is Moses because one has the power to turn water into blood. Well, frankly, I don't know who it is. All I know is he's going to have the power of Elijah and the power of Moses. And thank God, God's going to use them greatly. Look at verse number 7. And when they have finished their testimony, underline that, finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Underline that word beast is the word therion. The word therion is used 36 times in the book of Revelation. Right here is the first mention of the word therion, which describes the man of sin, the Antichrist, the one who is a political ruler who will emerge in the near future. Keep reading verse 8. And their dead bodies, speaking of the two witnesses. Remember, fire comes out of the mouth as they're witnessing, and yet the beast out of the bottomless pit comes up and overthrows them and kills them. Verse 8, and their dead bodies shall line the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That is no doubt a description of Jerusalem. Verse 9, and they of the people and the kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And that is, they won't have a funeral. They're going to line the streets 3 days, these dead bodies of these two witnesses. However, keep reading, verse 10. And they shall dwell upon the earth, shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another.
because of these two prophets tormented them that dwelt upon the earth. In other words, it's going to be the devil's Christmas. They're going to give party. They're going to throw a party and give gifts. Look at verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. And notice, they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. Father, I bless you today. I know I'm nothing, but I know you're everything. And we pray now, open our eyes and hearts. Cleanse us of sin. Fill us with Holy Ghost power to be witnesses in this sin-sick world, this wicked world, dear God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will do what's needed in our life, all the excuses, all the alibis, all the distraction, all the lukewarmness, all the complacency. Lord, all the things that would trip us and hinder us, we ask to remove them today in the name of Jesus, that you'll set our souls on fire, that, Lord, we'll go out with good news that Jesus, you are alive, hallelujah, and you're coming one day, that you saved us by your marvelous grace, and we're heaven bound, and this is not our home, and yet you come to give us life. Help us, Lord, to go and tell, as the angel said, come and see, and then go and tell. I love you, Lord, and bless you now, and pray you'll move us forward as a church, you'll move us forward as Christians, you'll give us a passion, as you said to disciples, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. We want to follow you, Lord, as we make a difference for your glory, because time is running out. And I pray today, dear God, if there'd be one here or two or three who are not absolutely certain, today will be the day of salvation. They'll pass from death into life. They'll see you, Jesus, high lifted up, believe you with the heart of faith, confess you with the mouth of faith, and surrender their heart and life. And may you be Lord and Savior of many today, and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, what is the deal? Why are people not sharing their faith? Why are you not sharing your faith? Is it because you're afraid of what somebody's going to say? Is it because you're afraid somebody's going to ask you a question? Why aren't you sharing your faith? Is it because you just kind of got preoccupied and it's just not important anymore? Why are you not sharing your faith? Is it because that you really don't believe that Jesus can save the lost? Why are you not telling other people about how great your God is? We sing about it. Oh, listen, beloved, we can make all excuses in the world, but God has left you here as a witness and me as a witness. You say, but Brother Pastor, I need more training. Hey, look, just listen and write notes. You'll be prepared. I don't have all the answers. You don't have to argue with anybody. Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. If he's done anything for you, if you're really saved, you can't deny the fact. I can't deny the fact. Once I was lost, but now I'm saved. Here we find these two witnesses in the middle of the book of Revelation, chapter 11. And here's where we're going in the text. Three challenges for you to take and me to take today to make us a better witness. That's our goal. Jesus said it this way, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Y'all look up here just a moment. My goal is not to condemn you. My goal is to motivate you to witness and share your faith. So if you're not doing it, yesterday's gone. Today is a new day. You can write cards. You can call on the phone. You can knock on doors. You can take somebody and share the love of Christ. Why, it doesn't matter if it's confrontational or if it doesn't matter if it's relational. Just do it. Just do it. Let's say that together. Just do it. Say it again. Just do it. It don't matter how you do it. Just do it. Just do it. I like the story of Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist. Somebody came up to Mr. Moody, a lady did, and said, Mr. Moody, I don't like the way you witness. You're too bold. You're too straightforward. And Mr. Moody looked at her and said, well, ma'am, how do you witness? She went, She began to stutter. Why? And he looked at her and said, well, ma'am, I like the way I do it better than the way you don't do it. Hello. It's easy to get critical to other people. It's easy to fault find other people. But how are you doing it? How am I doing it? God, make me a better witness. God, make you a better witness. Amen. How many want to be a better witness? Amen. God, make me a better witness. Well, it's one thing to say it with your lips. It's another thing to live it with your life. Witnessing is a lifestyle. It's not just going out once a week or once a month or once every 6 months. It's a lifestyle. If Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life, then brother, you've got a message to tell. I said, you got a message to tell. Don't you let anybody hide your light under a bushel. Go tell. Share the love of Christ. The love of Christ motivates us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. That we who live should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose again. Now listen, beloved, I understand this is swimming upstream. Now in the Christian life, it seems like now that most of our preaching and teaching today is just to make you feel comfortable and make you feel good about yourself and just sit soak and sour and just instead of getting on the battlefield, instead of serving God with all your heart. Oh yes, we're called to be witnesses. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The disciples needed power. Can I suggest to you, number one, the first challenge we have if we're going to be a better witness is, number one, why do you and I need to get filled up with God's power? Why do you and I need to get filled up with God's power? That's found in verses 3 through verse 6. How many are taking notes? Let me see your hand. That's point number one. Why do you and I need to get filled up with God's power? Verses 3 through verse 6. Number two, the second challenge that I believe that God wants you to take and me to take today in order to be a better witness is this. Why do you and I not only need to get filled up with God's power, but why do you and I need to get filled up with God's purpose? God's purpose. That's found from verses 7 through verse number 10. Number three, the third challenge, if you'll take it today, I believe you'll be a better witness. I believe you'll be a better witness if you'll take this challenge. Not only why do I need to be filled with God's power, why do I need to be filled with God's purpose? Number three, notice, why do I need to be filled with God's presence? Verse 10, verse 11 and verse 12. Let's take that and run with it for a moment. Why do you and I need to get filled up with God's power? I'll tell you what, listen to me. God hadn't called you to do anything that he don't give us the power to do it. Hello? He's not asking you to do anything that he doesn't empower you to do it. He's not asking you to do this in your own flesh. He's not asking you to do this with your own ability. He's saying, I will equip you. I will train you. I will enable you. I will empower you. And when we get to Jesus and get our hearts right and our heads right, God puts his anointing on us. God puts his power on us. No wonder the book of Psalm chapter 110 and verse 3, the psalmist said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. No wonder Zechariah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Tell me, are you experiencing resurrection power? Is your heart right with God? Look up here. Is your heart right with God? Is your mind right with God? Why isn't it right with God? You're distracted, aren't you? You're thinking about other things, aren't you? You're not serving God. But today you can make a change in your life. Today there can be a turnaround in your life. Today, thank God, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And don't waste your time here on earth living for yourself, building your own castle, trying to get the pleasures of this world. There's only one life. It's soon going to be passed, and only what's done for Christ is going to last. Why do you need to be filled up with God's power? Number one, look at verse 3 of the text. Notice, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Power. Hey, can I tell you why you need power today? Look up here just a moment. Look up here just a moment, please. Can I tell you why you need power today? Two reasons. You ready for them? You ready for them? Number one is because we live in a wicked world. Somebody say amen. I said we live in a wicked world. That's why you need to be filled up with power. How many believe we live in a wicked world? Come on, man. Y'all get real. You know it's wicked. You know it's evil. You know you live in a time right now that's the world is going the way of the world. Don't you see it? Aren't you concerned about it?
Aren't you burdened about it? Have you gotten so accustomed to the things of this old world that you're so far away from God that you can't see that people are slipping, sliding, going down the wide gate that leads to destruction? And if that doesn't bother you, you're backsliding from God. You need to get with God today and get the heart of God. Why? Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus' heartbeat is for sinners to be saved. Our heartbeat as a church is that sinners come to Jesus. Somebody say amen. God set our hearts on fire. So number one, we need power because we live in a sin-sick world. Did you notice? Time's running out. Did you notice? See, if you agree with me, and I'm not telling you something you don't know. You've only got so many days to live here on this earth. How many know that? Time's running out for you, my friend. Time is running out for you and for me and for everybody. Time is ticking. It's running out. You've only got so many days to live here on this earth. And that's the message of these two witnesses. Their time was expiring. Some of us today, we're in the two-minute warning. Some of us today, we're in the third quarter. Some of us today, we're in the ninth inning. Some of us today, it's the bottom of the ninth. Some of us today, we don't know how much more time we've got. And I'll tell you what, if you believe the Bible, and I do, and I believe you do as well, there is a heaven to gain. There is a heaven to gain. So, we need, why do you and I need to get filled up with Holy Ghost power to witness? Why aren't you witnessing? I'll tell you why, because you're not filled up with Holy Ghost power. And you're ashamed of the gospel, maybe. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you afraid of what people are going to say to you about Jesus and that they ought to repent and turn to God? Why are you ashamed? Listen to what Jesus said. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. What is better, to have people's approval or God's approval? God's approval. Look at me now. Why aren't you sharing your faith? You can tell me all excuses under the book, but if you're really born again, if you're really saved, if you really got a love relationship, if you really believe the Bible, if you really got the mind of and heart of God, it doesn't matter how you do it. Just do it. Just do it. Let's say that together. Just do it. Witnessing in a wicked world. It might be taking a cake. It might be building a relationship. It don't matter how you do it, but are you doing it? Hello, are you doing it? We got all the plans, we got all the programs, we got all the ideas, we got all the books, we got all the seminars, we got all this and that and the other, but are we doing it? We got our nice Sunday school, we got our nice worship center, we got our nice this and that, but hey, look, fishing, 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 going and telling, going and telling. The angel said, come and see, and then go and tell. Come and see and go and tell. But it starts right here. It starts right here. It starts right here. Dear God, it's me standing in the need of prayer. We were out soul winning. Speaking of witnessing, God opened the door for us as a church to go over in a community. We've been there before through the last number of 25 years over in Roland Cove, picking up children on the van, telling them about the love of God, seeing God change lives. To him be glory. Last week we had a young lady that was in the worship service as a result of the church reaching out to her, making a difference in the community. Last Wednesday we set up in this particular community and sharing the gospel, having fun. Children were coming. They had the jumpy, the bean, you know, the bouncy thing, to blow it up, and snow cones and all hot dogs, and just sharing the love of Christ in the community, letting people know that we love them, that God loves them. They don't have to perish without God, that God's got a better plan and God's got a better purpose and God has a better power. When I was talking with a couple of the ladies there, and this is what I asked them, I said, do y'all go to church anywhere? Are you a Christian? One of them said, yes, I'm a Christian. I used to go to church at so-and-so church, but I don't go anymore. I said, why not? Here's what she said. Now, I'm not being ugly. Every once in a while, Pastor, I just can't. Sometimes I hear so much stuff. Sometimes I just got to say what's on my heart. Anyway, here's what the lady said. She said, I used to go to church up there in Covington, and I missed one Sunday, and then I missed the second Sunday, and nobody called me. I said, say that again. She said, I went to church up there in Covington and I missed a Sunday and I missed another Sunday. Nobody called me. I've heard that so much through the years. Y'all listen to me. I love people too. And when you're out, I notice it. But I don't always call you. And I'm not going to if you miss one. If you miss 6 months or whatever, somebody's going to call you. But you know what? I looked at her. And I want to tell you this too. Those of you that get your feelings hurt when somebody don't come see you, listen to me what I'm fixing to say. Who have you gone to see? That's exactly what I asked her. I said, have you gone to see anybody? When have you gone out and visit somebody? She went, You see, it's one thing to whine about this and that, but it's another thing to do something about it. Who are you going to see? Who are you calling? Who are you going to knock on their door? It's easy to get your feelings hurt. Everybody gets their feelings hurt, but you've heard me say it before. Say it again. Get over it. Get over it. Get over it. Life's too short. Stop wearing your feelings on your shoulder. Move on with God. Serve God. Make a difference. Look at me. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect Christians. There's no perfect Sunday school teachers. There's no perfect deacons. And there's no perfect people, but Jesus is perfect. And what you need to do is stop looking around at preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and what's this and that and complaining about this and that and whining about this and that and just serve God and let God deal with the situation. Well, why do we need to be witnesses? We need to be better witnesses. You know what? The devil will use anything to get you out of the will of God. How many believe that? The devil gets you so quick your feelings hurt. And somebody didn't do this and that. Next thing you know, drop out of church or run here or do that. And the devil's a master at it. Don't you see how the devil's operating behind the scenes? And he wants to get you out of the will of God and wants to get you with a bone to pick and feelings hurt and this, that, and another. And this isn't going right. Hey, I can find fault with you. You can find fault with me. But you can't find fault with Jesus. You can't find fault with his word. And that's what we need to do, is stop looking to people and start looking to Jesus. He won't fail you. Can you hear me? He won't fail you. Amen. He won't fail you. Buddy, that cut through the chase right there, didn't it? We're all that way. We're all that way. I whine, you whine. We all whine, but we need to stop whining. We need to start shining. Oh, yeah. Hey, look, why do you and I need to be a better witness? Why do you and I need to get filled up today with Holy Ghost power? Number one is because time is running out. Because we live in a wicked world. Number two, are you ready for this? Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? People are watching your walk and they're watching your talk. That's why you and I need to be a better witness. Listen to me. I don't know how to say this but one way. If your walk isn't lining up with your talk, you need to change your walk. I said if your talk and your walk don't line up with each other, you need to change your walk and your talk. Why? Because people are watching you. They're watching me. Watch this. They hear what we're saying, but they watch what we're doing. And if my lifestyle doesn't line up what I'm saying about Jesus, I need to change my lifestyle by the power of God. Could that be why some of us aren't witnessing? I believe it might be. Our lifestyle isn't lining up what we say. It's easy to talk the talk. It's another thing to walk the walk. Number one, we need to get filled up with God's power. Speaking of talking the talk and walking the walk, did you hear about the lady? She was going to do an overhaul with her hair. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that in a negative way, but you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, she decided to put some olive oil in her hair. I don't know if you've heard about that or not. I hadn't, but anyway, she put olive oil in her hair. She decided to go to sleep that night with olive oil in her hair. About midnight, she didn't tell her husband. About midnight, her husband woke up and said, "What's going on?" And she said, "Do I smell like olive oil?" And he said, "No, do I smell like Papa?" Hey, sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we miss it. Number one, why do you and I need to get filled up with Holy Ghost power? Verses 3 through 6. Number 2. And by the way, I'll tell you what. These men were so full of God that when somebody opposed them, the fire of God came out of the mouth. You can read it. Number 2. Why do you and I need to get filled up not only with the power of God, but number 2, the purpose of God? Look at verse 7. I love this. Look at verse 7. And when they, look at verse 7. If you're there, say amen. And when they shall have finished, underline that word, finished, say that word with me, finished, one more time, when they had finished their testimony, I like that, when they had finished their testimony, look what happens, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them,
And their dead bodies shall lie in the street, verse 8, of the great city which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and the kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and 3 nights lying in the street. Look at this, verse 8, verse 9, they of the people in the, verse 9 again. They of the people and the tongue, the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. How can this happen? Notice he says the people and tongues and nations. I got news for you. Did you know they just put surveillance cameras on the Temple Mount last week in Jerusalem? Not that they needed that right now, and not just right now, anytime. Through satellite, through technology, we can see exactly what's going on downtown Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And there's surveillance cameras installed as of last week. I thought that was interesting, for whatever it may be worth. Metal detectors, there's upheaval as usual. In this particular place, hey, why do we need? Keep reading, verse number 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and shall make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt upon the earth. Here's where I'm going. Why? Are you a spirit-filled Christian? You don't have to be perfect to be a spirit-filled Christian. Just deal with the sin in your life. Confess your sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Ask God to fill you up. Ask God to cleanse you. Ask God to get self out and Jesus in. And God will do it. Somebody say amen. God, make me a soul winner. God, make me a witness. By the way, I know what you're thinking. Pastor, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I know. I understand. You may be, you may not. Guess what? This is a responsibility for every Christian, witnessing. You might be gifted in the gift of evangelism. Sure, that's a spiritual gift listed in Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. But every Christian is responsible under heaven to witness and share what God has done in your life. If Jesus has done something in your life, why aren't you telling other people? If you hadn't done anything in your life, there's no need for you to tell other people. Oh, look, no need for you to tell other people if you haven't done anything. But if he's done something, don't you want other people to experience peace? Don't you want other people to experience joy? Y'all look up here just a moment. Look up here, please. Look up here just a moment. Don't you want people to experience God's love? Don't you want people to experience God's forgiveness? Don't you want God to save others? How many want that? Let me see your hand. Yes, Lord. How can I be a better witness, Lord? How can I be a better witness, Lord? Number one is by praying, God, fill me up with your power. Number two, God, not only fill me with your power, but God, fill me with your purpose. How many of y'all know, hey, that boy won't stay in church. Somebody say amen. Hey, look. How many of you know that God's purpose is that we share the good news. Oh, yes. How many know this? The devil can't touch you without God's permission. Did you read the text, verse 7? When they, what's the next word? When they, help me out, somebody. You sure? It wasn't when they started their testimony. It was when they, I'll tell you what, this shouting ground right here, to know that the devil can't do anything to us without God's permission. And it ain't over till it's over. I'm telling you this, God's got you here for a plan and a purpose. And it ain't going to be over until God says, it's time to come home. The devil can throw his dirty darts. The devil can hit us with lies. But the devil's a liar and the devil's on a leash. And God said, I've got the final say-so. And the church said, woo! Devils mean and ugly. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And you know what else? I'll tell you why. You need to get filled up with not only God's power, but God's purpose. Here's why. Because the devil, when you fall down, woo! The imps of hell are going to cheer and say, ha, 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 ha.
You hypocrite. The devil hates you. You understand that, don't you? How many know the devil hates you? And as the two witnesses, the beast comes up out of the great abyss, that bottomless pit, and the devil, when the testimony of the two witnesses were finished, God said, this is all the time. 3.5 years, 144,000 were saved, according to Matthew chapter 24. This gospel shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. And God said, it's time to come on home. And the bottomless pit was open, and the beast came out of the bottomless pit, and he overcame these two witnesses, and they were killed, and their bodies lay in the street for 3.5 days. And all the world rejoiced, and all the world sent out a party and said, give me some gifts, and let's celebrate together. The devil's not your friend. You need to see the devil's a dirty devil. He hates you. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. So we declare war on the enemy. Why should you get filled up with God's power? Why do you need to get filled up with God's purpose? And then finally, number three, why do you need to get filled up with God's presence? Look at verse number 11 and 12. I love this. Look at this, verse 11 and 12. And after three days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. The devil said, we got them. It's over. They threw a party, rejoice. God said, it ain't over yet. It's not over till it's over. Look at verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Say that with me. Come up hither. One more time. Come up hither. I've read that before in Revelation 4. I've read that where the Lord Jesus steps out on the clouds of the morning, and the dead in Christ arise first. Those of us that remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I want to tell you something, beloved. We need to get filled up with God's presence. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because, number one, it's better to serve God than the devil. Get that down good. The devil hates you. He'll stab you in the back. He's a liar and he's the father of lies. He'll make you think good is bad and bad is good and light is darkness and darkness is light and bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. But it's better to serve God than to serve the devil. How many have already decided, I'm going to serve God until the day he takes me home? It doesn't matter what the devil's plans are. I know God's a good God. He snatched me off the wide, broad, and gate. He's led me into a life of victory. He has put a song in my mouth. He's given me peace that passes understanding. He's given me a purpose for living and a purpose for dying. And not only that, but one day when I take my last breath, I'm going to be escorted into the presence of a living God and spend all eternity in heaven rejoicing over the God that loved me and died for me and rose again. And I'll tell you what, it'll be worth it all one day. All that heartache, all that suffering, all that pain, all that rejection and persecution, it'll be worth it. I reckon the present suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Why do you need to get filled up with God's power today? Why do you need to get filled up with God's purpose today? Are you fulfilling God's purpose? You say, bless God, I gotta do this and that, and this is happening, that. Look, you might not be able to change your circumstances, but you can change your attitude. You just serve God where you're at. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses and blaming this and blaming that. Start assuming responsibility and saying, God, you've been good to me. I'm sorry for my complaining and my bad attitude. And dear God, I want to serve you no matter what. Tell you what, the breakthrough will come then. Your attitude will change. Things will change around you. Number one, because it's better to serve God than the devil. Number two, God's always got the final say so. Number three, why do you need to be filled up with God's presence? Verses 11 and 12. Number three, because God can bring you back to life.
from the dead. Just like he did the two witnesses. They were dead, lying in the streets, 3 days, 3.5 days. How many believe that God can bring your marriage back to life again today? How many believe that God can bring your vision back to life again today? How many believe that God can bring your children back to life again today? How many believe that God can bring your grandchildren back to life again today? How many believe that God can bring your peace back to life again today? How many believe that God can bring you out of your discouragement and depression today? You say, Pastor, I've been down and I've been discouraged and I've been depressed and things aren't going my way. Well, yesterday has gone. Today is a new day, and this is the day the Lord hath made. Are you going to rejoice and be glad in it? I said, are you going to rejoice and be glad in it? I'm asking you a question. I want to know if you're going to rejoice and be glad in today. Are you going to say, dear God, I can't unscramble eggs once they've been scrambled, but I'm going to choose today. I'm going to make a choice to rejoice. Go ahead and bless the Lord anyway. And some of you get a breakthrough if you'll start praising God. You've been walking around, and I've been walking around not blessing the Lord. I'll tell you what. Why do you need to get filled up with God's purpose, his power, his presence? Because Jesus is coming one day. These two witnesses come up hither. And they ascended into glory. Jesus is coming back. How many want to be a better witness? God, I need to be a better witness. Lord, but I know that's going to take me being filled with your power. I know that's going to me being filled with your purpose. I've been doing my own thing. I've been living my own purpose. God, I know I need your presence to not fear what man will say. The fear of man brings a snare. But whosoever put his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I wonder if you'd stand to your feet today and say, dear God, I want to be a better